Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America. What an amazing career for our guest on today's program, John Stanley. For 33 years, he was an entertainment writer for the San Francisco Chronicle, mainly covering movies and TV series, also reviewed new movies and, on occasion, horror and science fiction books, meeting some of the Hollywood's biggest stars, Bob Hope, Lucille Ball, Bing Crosby, Jimmy Stewart, among them. And during that period, he was a TV horror host on Saturday nights from 1979 through 1984. The show Creature Features, the most popular show in the Bay Area and one of the highest-rated horror host programs in the country. He not only presented sci-fi and horror movies, but also interviewed the biggest stars of the day. Also a movie lover, John even made a film, Nightmare in Blood, that had a successful run across the country in 1978 and 79. He's had 20 books published, including 6 editions of the Creature Feature Movie Guide and the popular Career That Dripped with Horror, what program we'll talk about, the book we'll talk about today, a unique blend of science fiction, fantasy, and horror, nearly 80 photographs and many in print for the first time, around 80 monster horror sketches, and one-on-one interviews with the stars that entertained us. The author of The Career That Dripped with Horror, John Stanley, is our guest on This Week in America. John, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Hi, Rick. Thank you for having me. I really do appreciate it because this new book, I want you to know, is a love story. It's a love story about our love for horror and science fiction and creatures that alter our facial features.
As someone who grew up watching, not in California and being able to watch you, but Goulardi and the others in the Midwest, that was the highlight of the weekend, Friday night, Saturday night, even that hot date. We had to be home by midnight so we could watch the horror movies on television, a mainstay of local television.
Yeah, there was no recorder in those days. You had to be home to see it.
Yes, and no matter, again, what was going on, the ball game had to be over, no overtime, we had to be home, the date, you either come with me and watch a movie together, or I'm going to drop you off and I'll see you at school on Monday. I mean, it was just that important to watch these. Let's talk a little bit, let's lay the foundation, and then we'll get into The Career That Dripped with Horror. What an amazing career that you had. But this started in the newspaper. Talk about that. That was your entrance into the world of show business in Hollywood and these stars.
That was the final years of Hollywood as it once was, the 70s and the 80s into the mid-90s. And I was able to, in the first couple of years, make contact at all of the major studios in Hollywood and also at all of the TV networks so that they would often tell me, you can interview this actor or that actor if you can come next week, you know. And when I was doing Creature Features, Walt Disney Studios would send me the star of its upcoming movie, and they would come on a Friday. We'd record the show Friday. It would run on Saturday night. Then that Friday, I would also go to a restaurant and meet the star and put on my newspaper man's cap. And that interview would appear in the paper the coming week. So it was always before the film opened, people could find out about it and hopefully attend.
What an amazing career by combining the two. You had the TV series, top rated in the area, one of the top in the country, so people would come in, they'd want to do the TV show. At the same time, you do interviews that would appear in the newspaper, the San Francisco Chronicle.
Yeah.
That was sort of a one-stop shop for PR for them, wasn't it, at the time? They could do TV and print and be seen and read by many people.
Yeah, it was truly, truly amazing. And also, when I was writing these stories, I put in our book, I put them into the present tense so the reader can feel like he's with me. He's standing next to me. We're going to enter a restaurant, a movie studio, a sound stage, and sit down with the person, the celebrity, and try to probe into that celebrity's mind exactly how he performs. For example, my interviews with Ray Bradbury and Robert Bloch, the Psycho author.
Yes.
They were designed to probe into their imaginations. How do you write your stories? Why do you write certain stories? And there's two very long interviews, which I feel are among the best. There's just so many things I discovered I hadn't covered yet with some of my older books. For example, Creature from the Black Lagoon. I was able to interview Julie Adams, the woman, beautiful woman in the bathing suit.
Oh, yes.
The stuntman Bill Chapman, who played the creature on all of the land sequences. And when it came to Superman, which was always one of my favorite characters, I realized suddenly, because I kept a file of all my stories, that I had interviews with Christopher Reeve, who did three movies in the 70s and 80s, Kirk Allen, who did the serial movies back in the 40s, and then Dean Cain, who co-starred with Terry Hatcher in a
yes.
Superman series. I had interviewed all of them. And Lois Lane, Phyllis Coates, very popular actors that so many of my past readers have told me they enjoyed. Noel Neal, she attended the WonderCon held each year in San Francisco, and we became very, very good friends. And she wrote two books that are just fantastic. One of them is just full of color photographs. She was also a pinup, a World War II style of pinup. And one other piece on Superman is about George Reeves, although I never met him. He died back in 1959. I wanted to at least do a piece that gave you some history about how well he did and what happened to him. He was found dead in his bedroom, killed with a pistol in his hand.
This is such a tour down memory lane, and I want to talk about the presentation, because that's really what sets us apart from so many other books. Is John is like, I got this press gig tonight, I've got this interview, come with me. And you feel like you're there by talking in the present tense. It's not like a history book. It's like we're reliving history by being there. It's so well done.
Yeah.
The Career That Tripped with Horror. Now, the book is available wherever books are sold. John's website, and I'll give you this throughout the program, is stanleybooks.net. The book available wherever books are sold, and all of this, of course, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. This book,
yes,
The Career That Tripped with Horror.
Yes, from my website, I will be able to autograph the book to them. There's a, as you know, there's a special autograph page
yes.
in the forefront. And I'll just tell me how you like it signed, and so it shall be.
And when you get the book, plan on spending a lot of time, and you'll keep going back to it. You'll start reading, and all of a sudden, hours will have gone by, and you're back in this golden era of motion pictures and television and these celebrities that really open up. John does an excellent job in interviewing and getting these people to really share behind the scenes and all of the stories, and so many photos that you will find there as well. You mentioned that several of the people that you've interviewed, fantasy author Ray Bradbury, psycho novelist Robert Bloch. Those two pictures on the video version of this, you'll see several pictures floating on the screen going by of John interviewing. You'll see him interviewing Ray Bradbury and Robert Bloch. Also there, you've got Nightmare in Blood. Talk about that, part of the DVD series that's available.
Yes, that was a feature film. When I was younger, I really dreamed of becoming a filmmaker. I had made a short film for my creature feature show. And then in 1973, I was able to make a film called Nightmare in Blood. It took a few years to get it to finalize it and get it into distribution. But I wanted you to know, Rick, that on April the 1st, it's going up on YouTube.
Fantastic.
It's been changed over into a better quality production, better look, and it will be up on YouTube just next week, in fact.
That's fantastic.
And, it's an unusual vampire film. Focuses on a horror show being held in San Francisco, and a committee has hired an actor in Hollywood named Malachi, who plays only vampires in each of his movies. What no one knows, of course, is that Malachi is a real vampire. And his two PR men, they are killers also. I won't give away more than that.
We will have to watch, and we will enjoy it as we're watching. That's Nightmare in Blood.
Yeah.
The link for that, all that information on our website as well, that'll be at youtube.com/@creaturefeatures80. Check for that. We'll have all that information so you can see the movie that was released with success around the country back in 78 and 79, now available a DVD enhanced version, Nightmare in Blood. A couple of the other pictures we've got up there, we've got a picture of that. We've got a picture of you and a skeleton. Talk about the background of that picture.
Yeah, there was a skeleton, and there was also a kind of cake, a cell, that were on my set. My set was different from Bob Wilkins. Bob Wilkins, who preceded me for 9 years, and who had been popular in the 1960s as well, Bob had a sign up on the wall that said, "Watch horror films, keep America strong." And this became one of the most popular little jokes that a horror host ever did. We also put it up on some of our sets sometimes.
And we've got that picture. Anyway. And we have that picture on the screen as well, so you'll see that whole series unfold in rotation as we're talking to John.
Yeah, that's great, Rick. Thanks so much. That's
thank you for doing this. There are so many things to talk about. Let's talk, first of all, about the transition that you made. You're the successful newspaper entertainment writer. You mentioned the background, Bob Wilkins, who was nationally known. He was sort of the preeminent horror host movie. How did you end up filling only two people in that series, you and Bob? How did you end up getting that role?
Well, I knew Bob. We were close friends. I was a guest on his show once in a while when he was doing it. And I guess I always thought one of the reasons was because I had those contacts and would be able to draw not only the well-known people in the Bay Area, but I might be able to draw some of the people from Hollywood. And by golly, it happened. You know, I told you about Walt Disney.
Yes.
And there were other PR men down there. One of them called me one day. My wife and I were in Hollywood. He says, "John, come to this address tonight." He wouldn't tell me what it was. And we went. It was the home of Lucille Ball. Jackie Gleason and Art Carney were there that night.
Oh,
she
wow.
was making a TV special with Jackie Gleason. Anyway, that's just one example of some of the wonderful, wonderful stuff that would happen. And also, I have interviews in the book with Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, Billy Dee Williams, producer Gary Kurtz, actor David Prowse, and director Erwin Kirshner, all from the 1980, it was the second Star Wars film.
Just amazing.
And also, I have a wonderful collection of interviews from The Wrath of Khan in 1982.
All of these interviews, and you'll find those in several of the books that we'll mention that John has written, this one in particular, The Career That Dripped with Horror. The book is available wherever books are sold. I'll direct you to John's website, very simple, stanleybooks.net. As mentioned, you can get an autographed copy of the book as well. You will have one-on-one interviews, you will have the sketches, you will have photographs, many of them autographed, many seen publicly for the first time in this publication, and all that information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. So many of us remember the horror movies, and the host would always dress up like one of the characters in the horror movie.
Yeah.
You were there just...
Elvira.
Well, yeah, and I'm glad she did. I'm glad she didn't wear a business suit. I'm glad that she dressed up in the wardrobe that she chose. You're dressed up there. I mean, you look like a reporter, like a TV talk show host there.
Well, Bob Wilkins, that's how he dressed. He never tried... Well... yes, he did a separate show where he played a character, but for Creature Features Saturday night, he just dressed normally. the suit and the tie or whatever. And so the station told me, John, just follow in his footsteps, you know. And frankly, it worked out very well. By being normal, I was able to do what I called mini movies. In other words, I would get out of the studio using the set, and I would go to a location like a wax museum or someplace in the Bay Area where I could create a horror story, but it wouldn't be very long. It'd be 10 minutes or so.
Yes.
We did a mummy, trying to get a mummy to wake up. Yeah, we just did a whole slew of those, and Chuck Norris was in three of my things that I did. He was making a movie in the Bay Area, so we did a two-part thing where I went to his movie location, and they were fighting and just doing dueling and all kinds of stuff. And gosh, I was able to get some shows, special, you know, mini movies that the fans really enjoyed.
You know, and it says something about your stature as a reporter and as a host, that you were able to get somebody of the caliber of the people you mentioned to take part in this. That's really giving you a lot of confidence they have in you. You're not going to do something that's going to embarrass them. You're going to do something that's going to be fun, the people are going to enjoy. Obviously familiar with your work, and probably not something you could do in 2025. Have they access that you had and get them to participate the way that you did? And all of this is recorded in the various books and the DVDs that John has out there, including The Career That Dripped with Horror, the book available at John's website, stanleybooks.net. This idea for the book sort of came about from what a little get-together that you and Bob had, where a few years after the series ended, you were out making public appearances, and the people were going crazy seeing you out there.
Yeah.
Everybody had stories.
In the year 2000, which was 15 years after the program had left the air, there were some fans who came and talked to me and Bob and says, hey, why don't you guys get back into the public view? And so they started planning shows designed just for us. We'd go to the Castro Theater two times a year. There was a theater in Oakland where the guy would put on shows for us every year. We would go to the WonderCon, and some other horror hosts, Mr. Lobo.
Oh, yes.
He started out just wanting to be a horror host, and by golly, he hung around with us, and he has risen up. He's now in Pennsylvania, but he has risen up to become a very popular horror host, Mr. Lobo. And in the Bay Area, we have Lord Bloodraw. He came along around the time that Bob Wilkins passed away in 2009, and Lord Bloodraw rose up in ranks and has done some creature feature shows here in the Bay Area.
I mean, it's amazing the background that you've had. I said that in the beginning, and I'll continue to use the word amazing. Someone that wasn't just pigeonholed in an area of broadcasting. He was able to do the personality work on creature features, able to do the interviews, in-depth interviews with all of the celebrities at the time. And it's interesting, you always liked the movies, and you started going to movies with a friend of your father's, a famous designer who actually created the Academy Award. He's sort of there giving you some...
Ah, yes, Stanley.
Yeah, talk about that. Talk about going to the movie with somebody that can explain and really teach you about the business. Here's one of the best that's there sitting beside you in movie theater.
My father's uncle, George Stanley. He created the Academy Award, nicknamed the Oscar.
Yes.
There are pictures of us together in the book. There's a chapter about how George created the Oscar. And, of course, it had a great influence on my father, who just took he took me to the movies every week. And in 1948, Rick, he and I went together to see Gone with the Wind. It had not played since 1938. It was being brought back for the first time. And I still remember going with my father to see The Best Years of Our Lives, which is a great, great movie that touches on World War II in a very unique way. People coming home from the war and how they're readjusting to a normal life. Creature from the Black Lagoon, Dad and I saw that. And, And hey, did I tell you about Batman?
No, I was going to ask you about that because you knew
Adam West. I think he was a friend of yours.
We did. He was a celebrity co-host I worked with on a St. Jude telethon years ago, and we spent quite a bit of time over the weekend. And just a tremendous guy. I really liked him, and you were going to work with him. We tried to do a movie with him.
Yeah, I had a script called Sarge. It was a fantasy about a war in China. And Sarge was the leader of a group of soldiers that included some chimpanzees who had been trained to fight in a war. And he tried to sell it because he wanted to get away from the Batman image.
Yes.
But he couldn't sell it, so I wrote it into a novel that was published by Avon Books in 1976. Its original title was Napalm Sunday, but... Avon said, "No, John, that's that's not pleasant." So
yes.
They just called it World War III, and it was a very popular paperback novel.
Amazing. Adam was such a delight to work with, and you've done that.
Yeah, he was just great. And Burt Ward played Robin, the Boy Wonder. And Frank Gorshin,
yes.
He played the Riddler. He was on my show one time. And he was just great. I devoted the whole show to him. I had clips from all of his movies. And he just became a very, very good friend also. And very funny. He did a show at the Fairmont Hotel that was just hilarious, you know, a comedy show.
Well, a very talented performer, yes, and in movies at the time, and known as the Riddler, but he was so much more than that. If you watch Ed Sullivan, you would see him on there from time to time, and just a very talented individual. We talked a little bit about Star Wars and the people that you talked to in front of the camera, behind the camera. Star Trek, talk about your involvement with Star Trek, because you were extensively involved.
I first met Leonard Nimoy in 1966. When they were hadn't gone on the air yet, and we didn't know anything about the show. But I got to interview Leonard Nimoy. They were shooting an episode. And he said, "John, I sure hope the audience will accept me." And I says, "What do you mean, Leonard?" He says, "Well, I've got these silly-looking ears. And are they going to think I'm playing a comedy character, or will they accept me as a genuine space figure, you know, traveling through space?" And he worried about that, but later he was doing a show in San Francisco, a one-man show, about Van Gogh, the painter. The brother of Van Gogh was the character he played. Anyway, he came to Creature Features. I devoted the show to him. And then we met again in 1982, The Wrath of Khan, and had wonderful, wonderful interviews with him. Some of them are in my first book, I Was a TV Horror Host. You will find a lot of signed photographs and an article with director Nicholas Meyer, who did one of the films during the 1980s, one of the Star Trek films.
And that's in this book by John, The Career That Dripped With Horror. You'll find that at all of the usual places, Amazon, whatever. If you go to John's website, you'll get information there on that, all the other books that are available, the DVD series that's coming back, the movie there, Nightmare in Blood, that will be out within several days, all of that at John's website, stanleybooks.net, and we've got a link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Among those that you had on the program, Conan the Barbarian, an exclusive interview you did with him.
Oh, yes. That was a sad week. My father had just died of a stroke, and I got a call. Hey, Arnold Schwarzenegger has made his first major film, Conan the Barbarian. So I flew down to L.A., and as we were flying, I wrote a poem for my father, which I would later read at his funeral service. But I got there, and boy, Arnold, who I had first met in 1976, he was doing a Streets of San Francisco episode with Carl Malden.
Oh, yes.
And Carl Malden had called me because we were good friends, and he said, "John, you got to interview this guy, Arnold." So I did. But now the second interview, he told me how hard it was to play Conan. I guess he had to put up with a lot of difficult action sequences in the film. Anyway, it turned out to be a really excellent interview. And then later, he came to San Francisco and was a guest on my Creature Feature show. So I got two interviews out of that, too.
You know, it's amazing. And for someone to do interviews, to be successful, you really need them to trust you. And it's so amazing, the people, again, in front of the cameras that we all know, behind the cameras that many of us know, if we follow the industry, to be able to trust you and to be able to open up. And now there's sort of this hesitation, like, what's the angle here? What's going to come out and be clickbait? What they're going to set me up for something on TikTok? What is going to happen? These are just real interviews with people that were equals. They would sit down with John and would talk and open up. That's why this book is so special, The Career That Dripped with Horror. You've got the one-on-one interviews. You've got the great pictures. So much more in the book, available wherever books are sold. Among those you talked to was Stan Lee. This guy is a fascinating person, the creator of Marvel and Spider-Man.
I've met him several times. He used to come here to the Giants baseball stadium once a year. And my son, who's the ticket director for the Giants, he would always call me and say, John, come over, and then we'll get together with Stan Lee. And so I had several interviews with him at the ballpark. And I also was able to interview Nicholas Hammond. A lot of people forget he played the very first Spider-Man on a television series back in the 1970s. So both Stan Lee and Nicholas Hammond sort of fit together. You know, you're going to find out quite a bit about Spider-Man, that television series.
And if you think, okay, these are people that I used to watch and I'm not sure they're around anymore, but they're nice stories, you've got Stephen King in there who's still alive and doing quite well.
Yeah.
The early days, talk about that.
Early in his career, you can find out how he felt about his early work, you know. The books he had written and where he wanted to go from there.
You know, there's
and
so
also,
much. No, finish that thought. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, one of my guests who was really terrific was Buster Crabb, who did the Flash Gordon serials. And then Max von Sydow, he appeared in a remake of Flash Gordon in 1980. And I had him on the show, too, and there are photographs of him, as well as me and Buster Crabb together. Also, one of the strangest interviews in the book, the one that didn't go so well, was with Irwin Allen. He did the series Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea, Lost in Space, Time Tunnel, Land of the Giants. And we were doing an interview, and I wanted him to talk about all these series. But he said something about Ray Bradbury not writing for television. And I said, oh, yeah, Ray, he's written movies and television. And Irwin Allen got angry at me for contradicting him, I guess you could say.
Yes.
And because Ray Bradbury had written, you know, films and television and so on. He asked me to leave the office, Rick.
And
I only had 20 minutes with him. But it's in the book, and you can read it and find out what went on. You can also read about Bruce and Brandon Lee. I know they were more of, rather than fantasy or horror, but I found both of them very fascinating. Bruce Lee played Kato in the Green Hornet show that was on TV in the 1960, I think it was 66, 67. And then Brandon, his son, came along 10 years later also became an action star. Of course, he died on the set. He was accidentally shot.
Remember that story, yes.
Died, I think, in the early 90s. Making a fantasy film.
I mentioned this as history. This really is part of art. It is pop culture. It is who we are as a society, where we were at the time, what we were doing, how we've evolved. This really is a valuable lesson in history for all of us. There's something of substance in what you're doing.
Well, you know, when I look back and I see the things that are on television now and the movie theaters are gone, all of the wonderful movie theaters. The Fox Theater in San Francisco was torn down, back in the 60s, you know. Of course, now we have a multi-screens. You know, you go to a theater and there's 8 or 10 movies playing that you can choose from. But I don't know, it's just not the same. Going to see movies in the 60s and the 70s, as far back as the 50s for me, that was something I really miss. That was a piece of history that's really changed.
Well, a part of all of our lives grew up, and if you were part of that, this book is so impactful. The book is The Career That Tripped with Horror. The author is John Stanley, who lived through this with his series in his newspaper reporting, the San Francisco Chronicle, the TV show, The Creature Features. You're getting the point if you're not familiar with the show and listening. This was accepted in the show business community. These people would line up literally to be guests on Creature Features. It's such an amazing story that that John talks about. It's fascinating. You mentioned the stuntman, Ben Chapman, I believe his name is, from the Black Lagoon. I want to talk about some of the people like that and the special effects people. Talk about the difference. I mean, when you were a stuntman, that had to be a whole lot different back when you're doing Black Lagoon as to what you're doing in stunts now. They've really come a long way is what I'm getting at in all these areas, haven't they?
Yes, they have. Of course, we see a lot of the stunts involve special effects.
Yes.
And they'll create visual things that look real, but they are not, you know. They will be able to carry the adventure and action and so on to a different level that we're used to seeing that in a lot of the superhero movies that are made. Stan Lee, by the way, he usually had a small role in each of those films when he was still alive, playing some character, you know. Sometimes comedy-type character.
What's interesting
it was a world that I certainly enjoyed flying back and forth to Burbank, because Burbank was close to downtown Hollywood, you know, rather than the L.A. airport. Anyway, it was a great time, and I still have stories that I haven't got into print, you know, and I wonder what should be my next book. I don't know. I'm trying to work that out, Rick.
I was going to say, we can't wait for the next book. We will read these, and there are books out there that you can pick up that John has written by going to his website, stanleybooksnot.net. The one in particular we're talking about today, The Career That Dripped with Blood. There's so much there, the sketches, the pictures, the one-on-one interviews. Was there anybody that you really, really wanted to do an interview with during this period, maybe have on Creature Features as well, that you were just never able to get to sit down and talk with you? Were there any that got away?
Vincent Price, for example. He was appearing with the San Francisco Symphony. I guess he was reading poetry or something. Anyway, I invited him to be a guest on my show, and he says, no, I don't want to be associated with a horror thing. I'm trying to get away from that. I want to be looked upon as a normal, everyday, average actor.
Interesting.
We sat down and had lunch, so I was able to do a Chronicle piece. In 1987, he and his wife, a British actress, came to Channel 5 in San Francisco, KPIX. And there was an afternoon show they were guests on. And I was able now to sit down with him again. And now he wanted to talk about the horror history. He had totally changed his mind about that. He realized that the public was accepting him as a... you know, House of Wax and all of the things that he made after that. So he was talking freely about it. And that material is in my first autobiography. I was a TV horror host. But anyway, I'm trying to think if there were any others. Christopher Lee was making a movie in Marin County, and he came on the set late. He didn't arrive in time so we could sit down and talk about what we were going to do. and I was already taping my introduction for the show, and I had a group of people from a Star Wars group, they were dressed as the characters, who were carrying lumber, hammers and so on, and moving around behind me. They were supposed to be building me a new set, and I had sound effects of of hammers and nails and so on. Anyway, he looked around and says, I don't want to do your show. I don't want to be on this kind of show. So he turned around, and he's walking out, and there's a TV set over the door that shows you what they're recording. And suddenly he looks up, and I'm introducing Ray Bradbury. He's in an interview I'm doing, and suddenly, instead of leaving, Christopher stands there watching the interview, part one of a two-part interview. And then he turns to my wife, who was my producer, and he says, I guess if it's good enough for Ray Bradbury, it's good enough for me. And he stayed. Otherwise, I'd have lost him. He'd have walked out. What would I have done for the rest of the show?
Well, that's amazing how that worked out. I mean, some of the great stories. Jen Stanley, our guest on the program. I'm going to take a few more minutes because the stories keep coming and I keep wanting to hear them. The book is The Career That Tripped with Horror. Now, in addition to what all you've done, you constructed the crossword puzzles for TV Guide, I understand, for 8 years. So all those 8 years when I was like screaming at the person that wrote the crossword puzzle because I can't finish it, you were one of those?
Crossword puzzle. I sold my first crossword to TV Guide when I was 15 years
oh,
old.
Oh, okay.
And they sent me a check for $15.
Jeez.
So off and on from then, from that time forward, I continued to, on a part-time basis, because I was working and going to college, I continued to turn out puzzles, and then I didn't do any for a while, and then suddenly, after I left the Chronicle, I did start to sell a few. I sold one to the New York Times and so on, and TV Guide had a companion magazine of nothing but puzzles, so each month I did 13 crossword puzzles. How I did that for 8 years.
Amazing.
13 a month, 8 years. I don't know. But one crossword puzzle after the other all day.
Well, that's amazing. You know? I could do one every 8 years. You did one every week for 8 years. Yeah. It's amazing. And if somebody's listening going, TV Guide, that sounds familiar. What is that? Those were the good old days, weren't they? When you could sit down, pick up a little magazine, look through and find out what's going to be on television. At a certain time, you don't have 1,000 shows to go through. You've got the main TV shows.
Well, Tom Wirsch is one of those two who came forward and asked me and Bob to come back before the public. And Tom published a book. He got several copies of TV Guide. He went through them, and there were all these ads for Bob Wilkins when he was doing his shows, you know, during the 1990s. So Tom took all of those ads, put them together, and did a very special book about Bob Wilkins, just using the ads from TV Guide.
Interesting.
So that's a remarkable little
sort of
a piece of history also.
Yeah, sort of an art form unto itself. You also co-wrote two books. I want to talk about those briefly, The Dark Side and Bogart 48, which Bogart 48, fascinating
Ken Davis,
topic.
Who's an artist who did the sketches that are in the book, the new book, he and I made Nightmare and Blood. So after that, The Dark Side was a private eye novel featuring a black private eye in San Francisco. I believe it was one of the first to do that, to have a black actor, because they had just made Shaft, I believe.
Oh,
remember
yes.
Shaft?
Yep.
It was the first. And we were nominated for an Edgar Award, but we didn't win it. And then in 1977, Ken and I started working on a book called Bogart 48. It's a story of how Humphrey Bogart and his pal, Peter Lorre, set out to find out who killed a friend of Bogart's while that friend was making a movie at Vasquez Rocks. Anyway, so you follow Bogart as he goes through he goes through Hollywood, meeting real life people sometimes, or fictional people, and he and Peter Lorre discover that someone is planning to blow up the Academy Awards at Shrine Auditorium on the night of the awards. So they set out. Now they have a killer to chase and got to find out and try to stop this person who's going to blow up the Academy Awards.
I would love.
And it was a very popular novel. It did very well.
I would love to see a movie out of that. I love the concept of that. And with the, and you had to go do the research.
That's
so
you
you had to go to the Shrine Auditorium to do the research there. So that
that
paid off as a co-writer.
We went down into the cellar. God, there was all this stuff, history from previous shows, you know. But anyway, we also went to where Bogart lived and restaurants that he and Peter Lorre went to and other real places. So it was reprinted. The book was reprinted in 2012 as a trade paperback.
And that's Bogart 48, if you're looking for that, and you can still find it in print somewhere. Boy, the time,
you might be able to, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be worth looking into. I love the concept of that, and like I said, would love to see a movie made out of that. The time has gone by way too quickly. John, it's just amazing. I love the passion you still have for the movies and what happened back during that time period there. Would you be able to... If you were a young John Stanley coming in now, would you be able to do any of this? I mentioned before some of the problems and how the whole media landscape has changed. Would you have access to the celebrities, the big ones that you did back then?
Would I have access to them now?
If you were starting over, young John Stanley, I'm going to do TV interviews. I'm going to do the San Francisco Chronicle. They're sending me off to do interviews. Would you be able to have the contacts that you did and people that would call you with stories?
I don't know. It's you know, the world changes.
Yes.
And all the publicists that I did know, most of them are gone now. There's a couple who are still alive. The ones in L.A., no, I haven't been in contact with L.A. much since I left the Chronicle in 93. I was still going, you know, doing a lot of interviews all the time. I'd go down there and do three a day and come home with six, sometimes nine interviews one trip to Hollywood.
That's amazing.
And that would keep me busy for the next couple of weeks, you know, or whatever.
Well, you know, it's nice to talk about the good old days, and they were. They were a lot of fun and a lot of passion that maybe we don't see with some of the performers today and some of the people.
Yeah.
Today's technology is fantastic as well. I don't want to dwell on the past, but we just did, and I'm going to read the book again and really enjoy it, and John's others as well. We can embrace where we are today and enjoy it and reflect and be nostalgic and remember those good old days there. When you look back, do you ever stop and think, I might have been the luckiest guy in the West Coast during that period? I've got access, you know, in San Francisco.
Well,
I've got this TV thing. Only two people did this. This legend, I go in after him and do it as well. Do you ever look back and go, wow, I can't believe I had that career?
Yes, I do. I wonder, God, I got to make a feature film that,
yes.
You know, a lot of low budget. I raised $50,000. To get it started, to get it shot. But then we had to go back and do some more shooting, and we found a distributor who said, okay, I'll pay for everything, and paid for the reshoot, getting the music mixed, you know, all the other final things that you do. And, of course, then the film got released. But it took a few years, but... just hang in there and do the best you can, you know.
Well, it's an amazing story. Did that. You took advantage of all of the opportunities that you had. You maxed them all out. You did a wonderful job. And for so many people in the San Francisco area, they learned about celebrities and behind the scenes and production, all of those techniques, reading John Stanley in the Chronicle, watching Creature Features, which was the number one show in the Bay Area, one of the top rated across the country. This book is called The Career That Dripped with Horror. The book is now available. You'll find it wherever books are sold. I'll direct you to John's website, johnstanleybooks.net. Direct link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Out on the DVD, Nightmare in Blood, you'll find that, the special YouTube channel. Our link is youtube.com/creaturefeatures80. You'll find that link as well. Just Google John Stanley and you'll get a lot of this information. John, it's been a pleasure. Hopefully we can do this again. Thank you so much for spending time with us, sharing all these great memories. It's been a pleasure to have you with us on the program.
Well, Rick, this has been one of the best interviews I've ever done, and I've done a lot of them over the years.
Well, thank you.
There's something very special about how you prepared this interview. I'm really impressed, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. This has been really, really a wonderful moment for me.
Well, and for me, and thank you so much for the kind words, and it's so much easier doing this when you've got somebody like yourself, a wealth of knowledge, who has done so much, and I admire and respect all that you did, all that you're continuing to do in keeping this era alive and sharing your passion, your stories with so many others. And I'd like to thank UR Link Print and Media for arranging our conversation with John today. Marketing platforms that are completely customizable to your needs. That's UR Link Print and Media, the website urlinkpublishing.com. Really hope this is the first of many interviews we do. John, once again, a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us. We'll direct people to the website, and we will stay in touch.
Thank you very, very much.
It's our pleasure.
Goodbye, Rick.
Goodbye. John Stanley is our guest.
Have a great future.
Well, you have a great day. You're on the West Coast. You got three more hours of today than I do, so take advantage of it. Go and go use it wisely.
Okay, pal.
The Career That Tripped with Horror by John Stanley, his website, stanleybooks.com. It really is a fascinating love story of John and behind the scenes and all the celebrities from that era, pictures and sketches and his one-on-one exclusive interviews. Find all that in the book, The Career That Dripped with Horror. You're listening to This Week in America. By the way, a website, John's website, you can link on by going to our website, which is thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.